I just want to throw the question out. How was your week? How was your week? How's the last couple of weeks been? Some of you, I imagine, have been good, bad, mixed. Now, I have to be honest. My last couple of weeks have been interesting and challenging and mixed. Like many of you, I've been really concerned for Richard and Catherine. I last saw Rich 10 days ago. It's never fun seeing a good friend in intensive care. And then going and seeing him 10 days ago where he was on the chest wall but still waiting for his operation and still very, very unwell. Now, as we've already heard, I'm very pleased to report he is much, much better. The infection markers are going down and he is likely to be home tomorrow, which is a huge answer to prayer. But so seeing Rich, it's thrown me a little, seeing him like that and having to pick up all his work as well. That's... But after I saw him 10 days ago, last time I saw him was 10 days ago, Sue and I went off down to Dorset for a couple of days, and we had a lovely couple of days walking the dog along the beach, pub lunches, just lovely hanging out together, and it was great. It was a really refreshing time. We got home last Sunday, and Sunday afternoon I had a listen to the voicemail, and I had a message from a hospital chaplain asking me to ring him urgently. And when I rang him, discovered that a young couple who I've married here and who I baptized their oldest child had been in the hospital that day because their newly born child, Frankie, 24 days old, had died suddenly. And you never want to get that sort of phone call. It reminds you that some people are going through tragedy when others are going through blessing. But then on Tuesday, you go to the blessing place again because Tuesday, Judy started work in the office, which was a wonderful blessing having her join our team. And I have to say, and Sarah as well, it's a great team we've gathered, and they bless me. They do bless me. So we had a morning together, and then on Tuesday afternoon, I took the funeral of a baby born prematurely at 22 weeks, and I tried to bring some comfort to her parents in their distress. On Wednesday, we held the first day of the Global Leaders Summit, or GLS, at Open Doors, where we were supporting 100 church leaders and their teams as they engaged with some fantastic, inspiring teaching about leadership, about culture, about faith. And when I say we hosted, we really did host. So Harvey and Ernie were the guys who were behind much of the day. And then we had about 30 volunteers. And what blessed me as much as the talks was seeing our team serving these leaders and actually receiving blessing themselves, as some of them have said to me, as they served those leaders. So wonderful day on Wednesday. Wednesday evening, I went to meet Frankie's parents to talk about the funeral, to try and bring some of God's hope and peace into their lives at this difficult time. And then on Thursday, we had the second day of the GLS, which was truly inspiring. And again, I came home truly blessed. So part of me, as I was preparing for today, thought, do I even tell the church about some of the bad stuff that's happened in the last couple of weeks? Because I don't want you to think, oh, poor Simon, he has such a tough job. I have the best job in the world. It's a privilege to stand with families when they are in that place of suffering and to try and bring God's hope and peace and comfort into those situations. And I also believe, in my humble opinion, I'm the vicar of the best church in the world. And I say that half joking, but half seriously, because it's the church where I am called at this time and where we are called at this time. And I'd be in the wrong place if I was anywhere else, because I'm called to be here. And I also am excited about what God is doing in our community, in Whitney and beyond, because there are amazing things going on at the moment in our world. And I'm as excited about what God is going to do in Whitney as I am about anywhere in our world. God is doing some extraordinary things at the moment. We're finding it easier to pray with and for people. On Friday, I was emailed asking when our next Alpha course is, because someone who I don't know wants to bring three people. And I shared this in the last service, and Martin said, oh, no, we're up to five already, because there's people who are on our current Alphas course who wants to bring people. I'm thinking, I don't know when our next Alpha course is happening. We haven't planned it. So if you'd like to run an Alpha course, come and see me afterwards. And yesterday, again, heard this reminder that it was the Alpha Holy Spirit Day, and 9 of our guests, some of whom are here this morning, all of our guests who are there received prayer and wanted to be touched by God's love. And I'm preparing this sermon, I'm getting ready for this sermon, and Martin emails me with his testimony. And I think, oh, Lord, I like these sort of emails. You know, this is what God is doing. You know, giving Martin the same dream 5 nights in a row. This is what we've been praying for, people. And this is what God is doing. So while sometimes in the last couple of weeks it's felt like a battle, there are all at the same time, we hold on to the blessings. We hold on to the blessings in the battle. And some of you may have read in the Bible in a year last week, Nikki Gumbel wrote this. I remember hearing the American pastor Rick Warren say how he used to think that life was a series of battles followed by times of blessing. But now he thinks of life as being on 2 tracks. One track is blessing, the other is battle. They run concurrently. They run concurrently. They run together. Blessing and battle. And in the battle, we have to hold on to the blessing. We have to hold on to the blessing. 2 weeks ago, Eddie did a fantastic job teaching about holding on to God in the winter season, the difficult times. So why do I share all of that at the start of my sermon? Well, I share it because today I'm launching a new series called The Promise of Blessing. And it's based heavily on this book by Kate Patterson. Kate is actually the daughter of Martin and Cynthia, who come to our 9:15 service. And it's a great book on the promise of blessing. And what I want us to know and what I believe this morning is that God wants to bless everyone here. God wants to bless us. I believe that. He wants to bless us individually. He wants to bless us corporately. He wants us to know what Martin has discovered. He wants us to know what it means to be loved by the Heavenly Father and to put our trust in Him. He wants us to know that. He wants us to know what it means to be able to hold on to the biblical truth that nothing, nothing, neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe it? God wants us to know it. He wants us to believe it. He wants us to live it. Nothing, no battle, no persecution, no disappointment, no bereavement, no failure will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is and of itself a blessing. His love is and of itself a blessing. But he wants to bless you more and in many ways. Just turn to the person next to you and say, God wants to bless you. You believe that, don't you? You believe that. You believe that for them, don't you? Now say to me, God wants to bless me.
God wants to bless
you. No. Sorry. Yeah, he does. He does. I got that wrong. Say God wants to bless me, you. So me, not you, me. We'll all say it together. God wants to bless me. We'll say it together. God wants to bless me. No, me, you. You see, we actually find it harder to say God wants to bless me than we do to say God wants to bless you. It's easier, actually, for you to say God wants to bless you to me than it is for you to say yourself, God wants to bless me. And I don't know if it's a British thing. I don't know if it's a thing we don't believe it, you know, because we actually find it easier to pray blessing for the person next to us than we do to believe blessing for ourselves. And you know that's true. So we start this series as a church, I believe, in a place of battle, but with the firm belief that God wants to bless us, to bless each one of us individually, corporately, so that we can be a blessing to our world. So, will you stand as I read the passage that I'm going to speak from? And we're going to read this every Sunday for the next few weeks until we believe that this is for us. This is for us. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.'" Please sit down. Now that's from Numbers 6, and it is the blessing that Moses, that the Lord speaks to Moses, that then Moses tells Aaron to speak over the people. So it's called the Aaronic blessing, prayed over the people. And you'll recognize it because it's the one I usually use on a Sunday. I love it. It's my favorite blessing. And I believe every word of it. And over the next few weeks, as I say, we're going to work through it phrase by phrase. Because I want, when we get to the Christmas season, whose season is the Christmas season? Yeah, very good. Some of you were listening last year and the year before and the year before that. But it's our season. And when we get there, I want us to know so clearly that God is with us and that God is for us and that God wants to bless us so that we can take that blessing out into our community, beyond the Lych Gate. If you don't know what the Lych Gate is, it's the gate you came through as you came in today. But that we might take the blessing of God out there. We come here on a Sunday to be blessed so that we can take that blessing out there, out there. So today, in the time I have left, I want to look at the phrase at the start of the blessing, which is very simply, "The Lord bless you." The Lord bless you. So what does "the Lord bless you" actually mean? What does it mean? When I was a student in London, I had a friend. Really, I did. I had a friend, at least one. But she would often say, "Ah, bless, ah, bless." That's a lovely cup of tea, "ah, bless." And this was her thing. She was Welsh. I think it was connected. But she said what they did in their community. "Ah, bless." And it meant, "Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Ben Osmond's just got engaged. Ah, oh, bless. Ah, oh, bless." It's great news. "Ah, oh, bless." Or, you know, when someone sneezes, when our reflex action to a loud sneeze or to any sneeze is, "Bless you. Bless you." Little share here that when Sue sneezed once in a classroom, a child in the next door classroom fell off her chair. Sue is someone who is quiet and shy, but when she sneezes, my word! Biblical blessing. I'm going to be in trouble for that. Biblical blessing. Biblical blessing is much more than saying, "Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice." It's much more than recognizing that someone has sneezed and saying, "Bless you." It's much more than that. It's very different when the Almighty God, who created the universe, blesses us. The results are always tangible. The Bible scholar Wenham writes in his commentary on Genesis that an Old Testament blessing is a solemn, deliberate act bringing concrete advantages. A solemn, deliberate act bringing concrete advantages. That's why in the Old Testament, people longed for blessing. They longed for blessing. They wanted God's blessing. A bit like in the 21st century, everybody's after success. Well, in the Old Testament, they wanted blessing because they knew if they were blessed by God, it made a difference in their lives. They knew it made a tangible difference in their lives. Anybody know what that means? Live long and prosper. There we go. Live long and prosper. There's a Trekkie out there. So on Star Trek, Dr. Spock would do this and go, "Live long and prosper." I loved Star Trek. I grew up. I just loved it. He didn't want to wear a red shirt. But anyway, I love Star Trek. But what I didn't know was where he got that from. So he came up with this sign. He was the Vulcan, and he was sort of this person who needed he was a different race, he needed a different greeting, and he came up with this symbol and said, "Live long and prosper." And he came up with it from his Jewish background. Because in an interview with the Washington Post, he said, "This is the shape of the letter Shin, which he noted is the first letter of several Hebrew words, including Shaddai, one of the names of God, Shalom, the word for hello, goodbye, and peace, and Shekinah, which relates to the glory and presence of God. Shaddai, Shalom, Shekinah. You see, deep inside, we long for the presence, the blessing, the glory of God. And maybe that's why that sign became so successful, why that sign is still noted. People know what it means from the Star Trek point of view, because there's something about it, something behind it. And it's hard to sum up God's blessing because it is so gloriously rich. And any definition is likely to do it an injustice. But here are some results of God's blessing, and here are some ways we can increase God's blessing in our own lives. First, the blessing of God brings well-being. And people often think of blessing in terms of what will make me happy. What will make me happy? And according to one survey by the Warwick Business School, the perfect life is a salary of £100,000 a year through part-time work, a house worth £1.6 million with no mortgage, an Aston Martin and 10 inches off your waistline. Anyone got all of those? Actually, we see time and time again that wealth does not bring happiness. It does not. It's an illusion. It's an illusion that people go after. And actually, if you know, it's almost preached in our society. You watch what the adverts for Christmas will bring over the next 6 weeks. They will be promising you happiness if you buy their stuff. They will be promising your Christmas will be better if you go to their shop. They're promising a happiness, but it's just not true. It's just not true. It doesn't. You know, wealth can make life more comfortable, but it doesn't bring happiness. And you only have to look at the lives of some wealthy people to see that. So if blessing isn't defined as happiness, what is it? Well, here we come back to shalom. This idea, shalom. A rich sense of wholeness, health, of peace and welcome, of homecoming and belonging. It was also used as a word to describe perfect weights. So it speaks of the authentic peace that is accompanied by truth and justice. The authentic peace accompanied by truth and justice. Shalom is best translated as well-being. Well-being. About being, not just having. About how you are. And knowing who you are. This is about a deep contentment. It's about the knowledge that, as Julian of Norwich, the mystic, said, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. All shall be well, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. That deep contentment is the blessing of God. It's the blessing of God. God promises us shalom. He wants to restore well-being, as he always intended for us and our world to have. Now, earlier, I talked around battle, and I talked around holding on to the blessings in the place of battle. Well, there's a very famous passage in the Bible in Ephesians 6 about the battle, the spiritual battle that we face, which says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Shalom. The gospel of shalom. And you know, I've read that passage loads of times. It goes on and talks about some more things to put on. But that sense, it always has been a bit strange. You know, in the armor, you've got your sword, you've got your shield, you've got your truth, you've got your breastplate, you've got your peace. When you're going to war, you've got peace. It's a bit odd. But it's one of the biggest things in our armory, is that we stand on this truth of God wants the best for us, wants us to know shalom, and we take that shalom into our world. We take that blessing out to the people around us. Feet clothed in the gospel of peace. The shalom, the contentment, the blessing of God. The good news of God's peace should go with us. It does go with us because our feet are in the gospel of peace. How do we bless others? Well, ultimately, by introducing them to God through Jesus. I believe that. I believe we can be very nice to people. We can help out their social situations. We can make life better for them. But actually, ultimately, if they don't discover the love of God, they'll either be sitting on that fence or looking over. They will not discover this shalom peace. In the 16th century, Ignatius of Loyola wrote, "Consider that the blessed life we so long for consists in an intimate and true love of God, our Creator and Lord, which binds and obliges us all to a sincere love." The blessed life we so long for consists in an intimate and true love of God. When we discover that intimate and true love of God for us and for us for Him, it gives us that peace, that blessing. How do we get more of God's blessing in our lives? How do I say to you, bless you, and encourage you to discover more of God's blessing in your life? Well, there's two things I want to share. We start by recognizing the blessings we already have in our life. You know, it's clinically proven that grateful people are happier people, that people who have discovered how to live life with an attitude of gratitude have better mental health, have greater peace and contentment. There's a hymn written in the 1890s by Johnson Oatman, and it says, "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." When did you last count your blessings? That's where the phrase comes from. That hymn is attributed to that phrase. When did you last count your blessings? Now this morning, I don't know, can I give you a few just to count? I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Now some of you might be here this morning and not be convinced that you are a child of God. And if that's you, I would love to talk and pray with you, because I think you won't ultimately discover this peace and shalom until you know you're a child of God. But I am a child of God. The biggest blessing is when we realize the truth that God is a good father and that we are his children loved by him. That's why I love that chorus, "You're a good father and I'm loved by you." Because it's at the heart of being blessed is to know it, to know that's our identity, to know that's who we are. If you're a Christian this morning, you can start with the confident statement, count your blessing, I am a child of God. That is a blessing. I belong to a community of faith and hope. I hope you know that blessing. That's great, John, up talking about connect groups, because that's one of our ways of belonging, is to be part of those. If you come here and feel you don't belong, well, maybe again, chat to me or one of the team, because belonging is important, and I hope you can count that. Many of us will have family and friends who love us and who we love. Count that blessing. I have breath in my lungs, having seen Rich struggle for his breath over the last 2 weeks. I see that as a blessing again. Breath in my lungs. I have a roof over my head. I live in a nation with extraordinary healthcare. And again, from walking alongside Rich, I see that as well. I count my blessings. And as I count my blessings, I discover a greater freedom. You know, the things that don't bless me become less big. They're still there. There's still battles. There's still troubles. But I count my blessings, and the more of my blessings I can count, the better. I think we shared with you I certainly did in the evening service, our eldest son started this project on his birthday back in September called the Thank You Project. And he decided that every day, he's 23, he's going to write 2 pages in a little notebook of thanks to a significant person in his life. And I looked at this, and he started with Sue, and apparently she carried him for 9 months, so she got that over me. I did the easy bit, and then he went to me, and then he went to his brother, and then he did some friends and some other family. And I thought he'd give up. I thought, you know, he'd stop after a week, you know, all that. But 41 days later, he's written of 41 friends and family members this 2 pages of thanks. Thanks for things they've done for him. Thanks for what he sees in their lives. And we read it, and it's wonderful. And he says it's great. He says it's great that he's enjoying it because actually they like being thanked, and he likes thanking them, and it's just done his mental health good by thanking others. You see, blessing, and this ties into the counting our own blessings, but it ties into that. There is a power in words of blessing. There's a power in words of blessing. See, just as much as there's a power in words of curse, there is a power in words of blessing. Problem is, we're better at remembering the negatives than we are the positives. And actually, most of us are easier, quicker to give the negatives than we are the positives. But there's a power in blessing. And I'd encourage you to think of someone who you can bless with your words. Someone, even after we finish today, to actually to think about someone here who you can go up to and you can bless them with something that you see of God in their lives. Thank them for something they do in the lives of our community. There's a power as we speak blessing over each other. Can I encourage you that when you are in the battles, to raise your eyes, to recognize who you are, to experience the love of the Heavenly Father, and to be grateful for what you already have. And the final thing I want to say this morning, and I've sort of touched on it already, but and there's going to be much more to come about blessing over the next few weeks, but just the final thing is we are blessed to bless. I've touched on this already. We are blessed to bless. Genesis 12, verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." We are called to be a blessing. We receive blessing so that we can bless others. Now, I'm just going to share that there are people I know, there are loads of people in this church who are already blessing others and discovering the blessing of blessing. But I'm just going to pick on one. I'm not going to mention them by name because of the nature of what they're doing. It's not top secret, many of you know, but it is a little sensitive. But there's a person who came to see me shortly before they were retiring and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do going forward. And I'd like to do something, and I'd like it to be whatever God is opening up for me, but I don't know what that is. And so I gave her a list. I said, "You could do all of this, any of these." And none of them were quite right, and I knew none of them were quite right either. But then a day or two later, something came across my desk, which was that we had some refugee families arriving from Syria in Whitney who needed support. And so I went back to her and said, "How about getting involved in this?" And last week I spoke to them and I said, "How's it going?" I said, "Amazing, amazing, beam, amazing, amazing." Because not only did she get involved in supporting those initial two families, but she's now acting as coordinator, really, for the support of all of the half a dozen families that are now in Whitney. And to the point of giving them all great support. And actually, again, I'm just going to throw it out there. If anybody is interested in becoming an enabler or alongsider to some of these families, come and see me after. But she's loving it. She's blessing these people, but it is blessing her. And that day, as we were talking, another member of our congregation was taking one of the mothers, was driving one of the mothers to hospital to have her baby by C-section. And I just was so blessed to be part of a church where we have people who bless people like that, because that's the sort of church I want us to be. So it blessed me, it blesses her, it blesses them, we're blessed. Do you see how this blessing thing works? The more we bless others, the more we discover God's blessing for ourselves. So let's take God's blessing out from here. So if you want to know more of God's blessing in your life, become intentional about blessing others, about blessing those around you. Because actually it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens when we're deliberate about it. We have to determine today that we are going to carry God's peace into our workplace tomorrow. That we're going to look for those opportunities to bless with words, to bless with actions, those around us. Think about those people who you're working with tomorrow. What could you say to them tomorrow morning, first thing, that will make a significant difference to their week, that will bless them? What could you thank them for? And as I say, let's start this straight after church. Find someone you don't know and get to know them better. Look out for someone who's here for the first time and find out a bit about them. Look out for someone when they're having coffee who's maybe standing on their own, and go up and see how their week's been, and ask if there's anything you can pray for them. Let's start here, but let's take it out there. So may the Lord bless you today with his shalom, his deep peace and contentment. Whatever battles you're facing, may you have the knowledge that you are his child, greatly blessed, that he wants you to know his shalom, his peace. And may you take that into our world. Amen. Amen. Would you stand? I'm going to ask Rosemary and the band to come back. Just before we worship, I just want to pray a sort of a greater blessing over us all this morning. But particularly, I want to pray for those of you who've lost sight of the blessings, for those of you who are feeling this morning that you're overwhelmed by the battle that you're in, that you would know God's shalom, contentment, blessing deep in your heart as you go from this place. So if you want to, why don't you just hold your hands out? So what we're saying there is it's just a receiving thing. And Father, thank you that you are a good Father. And we are your children, loved by you. And I pray you would pour your love out again deep into our hearts. And I pray you would pour your peace out. Pray you would bring your shalom, your contentment. Welcome home. And Father, bring to mind our blessings now. Help us to count those blessings. And I pray that particularly for anyone who is in a place of battle this morning, that you would help them to raise their eyes to see again the many blessings they have. The Spirit of God is just gently meeting with people. God is just pouring his blessing out in this place again. His love, his reminder.